Imagine waking up alone on a beach, wrapped in a dirty bedsheet, possibly the last human alive after a bioengineered apocalypse. This is Snowman's reality. Once called Jimmy, he now survives on meager supplies while watching over the Crackers, genetically engineered humanoids with luminous green eyes who approach him with curious fascination. These beautiful, naked beings bring him treasures from the ruins, a hubcap, piano key, computer mouse. These are things from before, he explains in his kindly voice. They've developed theories about him, that he was once a bird who forgot how to fly, that he's cold from eating fish. When they leave, Snowman screams at the ocean, "Crake, asshole, you did this!" But only the waves answer. The Crackers represent the vision of Snowman's brilliant but disturbed friend, Crake, perfect humans engineered to be peaceful, innocent, and utterly alien to Snowman, who feels his humanity slipping away with each passing day. As he looks at his grimy, bug-bitten body with thinning hair and yellowing toenails, he laments his physical decline. This is the aftermath of scientific hubris and corporate greed, a new world where humanity has been replaced by its own creation. Jimmy grew up in Organic Farms Compound, a fortress-like corporate enclave separated from deteriorating plebe lands by walls, razor wire, and armed guards. Inside these modern feudal estates, scientific elites lived in climate-controlled comfort, while the outside world suffered environmental degradation. His father worked as a senior genographer on the Pagoon Project, transgenic pigs growing multiple human-compatible organs to address transplant shortages and generate profits. Young Jimmy found the Pagoonlets captivating, but was unsettled by adult specimens whose human-derived neocortex gave them intelligent eyes that studied visitors with uncomfortable intensity. Jimmy's mother rebelled against this artificial existence, calling it a soul-destroying theme park where people recreated a sanitized past. Enhanced security measures, mandatory identity checks, and restricted movement between compounds intensified her sense of imprisonment. Despite his father's justifications about eco-terrorist threats, the oppressive atmosphere eventually drove his mother to escape, reshaping Jimmy's understanding of their privileged existence. At Healthweiser High, Jimmy met Glenn, later known exclusively as Crake, a brilliant student with dark hair, green eyes, and a cool half-smile. Jimmy's mother actually liked Crake, describing him as intellectually honorable and more adult than many adults. Their friendship built on an uneasy power dynamic. Jimmy felt both drawn to and threatened by Crake, whose attention made people feel important. As lab partners, they began hanging out regularly, playing computer games and surfing the darkest corners of the internet, watching live surgeries, executions, and disturbing pornography. During one session, they first saw Oryx, a girl about 8 years old on an exploitation site. Unlike other children who seemed like digital clones, Oryx felt real. She looked directly into the camera with a hard little smile that said, "I see you watching." Crake froze the frame and downloaded it. Jimmy felt simultaneously guilty and captivated, hooked through the gills. This moment planted seeds for the coming catastrophe. Jimmy's obsession with Oryx and Crake's cold view of humanity would eventually converge in devastating ways. Both Jimmy and Crake carry deep emotional scars from childhood. Jimmy's mother, a former microbiologist, quit her career when he started school. Snowman remembers her disengaged presence, smoking in her magenta bathrobe, staring out windows while he desperately sought her attention. Her disappearance during Jimmy's teens left an unhealed wound. Years later at ANU, Jimmy witnessed footage of her execution for treason. Her final words, "Goodbye. Remember, killer. I love you. Don't let me down." Crake's father died under suspicious circumstances. Officially suicide, though Crake hinted at foul play involving Uncle Pete. Later, Crake's mother died from a transgenic staph infection that chewed through her like a solar mower. These parallel losses shaped them differently. Jimmy buried pain beneath cynicism and casual relationships, while Craik transformed his into a cold worldview that drove him to orchestrate humanity's downfall. Similar wounds created vastly different monsters. Oryx emerges as the narrative's most enigmatic figure, a delicate triangular face with striking eyes and luminous complexion that haunted both men. After her father's death in a Southeast Asian village, economic hardship forced her into an apprenticeship under a businessman posing as a legitimate entrepreneur. Renamed Susu, Oryx worked first as a flower vendor before her handler, Uncle N, involved her in increasingly exploitative situations targeting tourists. When Jimmy tried discussing her past hardships, Oryx deflected with philosophical observations like, "We should think only beautiful things," and "All experiences shape who we become." Her serene acceptance frustrated Jimmy, who struggled emotionally with her history. When asked if she appeared in controversial online content Jimmy had seen years before, Oryx remained ambiguous. "It might be me. Maybe it is. Would that make you happy, Jimmy?" Oryx symbolizes human resilience and complexity in processing difficult experiences. Her forward-looking perspective contrasts with Jimmy's fixation on trauma, questioning our need to project resolution onto others' experiences. Craik hires Jimmy to market the Bliss Plus pill at Rejuvenous. The pill promises STD protection, increased libido, and extended youth, with a hidden sterilization function to control overpopulation. Behind this commercial venture lies Craik's true achievement, the Paradise Project. In a secure dome, Jimmy glimpses Craik's creation, beautiful humans of various skin colors moving naturally in an artificial paradise. These genetically engineered beings die at 30 without illness and lack territoriality, racism, and sexual conflict. They mate only during specific cycles, need no tools, and eat only vegetation. When Jimmy questions their marketability, Craik explains these are merely prototypes for customizable babies. Oryx, who teaches the Craikers about nature, is Craik's lover. Despite this, Jimmy begins an affair with her after she seduces him, saying, "I didn't want to see you so unhappy." She maintains both relationships while distributing Bliss Plus pills through clinics. This triangle of desire ultimately triggers the apocalypse as Craik's scientific ambition collides with Jimmy's emotions and Oryx's mysterious presence. The catastrophe struck with devastating speed. Jimmy learned of a worldwide plague from a tearful Oryx, who revealed the disease was hidden in the Bliss Plus pills. When Craik appeared with Oryx at the airlock, he suddenly slit her throat. Jimmy shot Craik dead. Sealed inside with the crackers, Jimmy watched helplessly as the pandemic unfolded. Quarantines failing, hospitals closing, communication networks collapsing. On satellite, he witnessed functioning communities vanishing one by one. The virus, engineered by Craik and concealed in the Bliss Plus pills, was the waterless flood that eliminated humanity while leaving nature intact, precisely as Craik intended. Living off emergency supplies, Jimmy eventually introduced himself to the crackers as Snowman and led them to the seashore. The novel ends with Snowman discovering other human survivors. Feverish and injured, he contemplates approaching them. 0 hour, time to go. In an era of advancing genetic engineering and corporate power, Atwood's vision feels less like fiction and more like prophecy.